Good morning. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, continuing on in the teaching half of the church year. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord, hearing his word and receiving his grace. If your guests are visiting with us here this morning, we're especially glad you're here, along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder to fill out an attendance card you can find in your pews. About midway through the service, following our sermon, we will have the installation of our day school teachers as our school year begins this coming Wednesday. So we look forward to that opportunity once again to have them here and presented before our Lord. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 2. It begins on page 167 in our hymnals. And so we sing now the first hymn, 726, Evening and Morning. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord with thanksgiving, make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, he prepares rain for the earth, he makes grass grow on the hills. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. To the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. To the Lord with thanksgiving, make melody to our God on the lyre. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Praise Christ, the Lamb.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord. And he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of the greatest stories ever told center on the search for treasure. There may be legends surrounding vast quantities of gold hidden away in a lost city in a remote part of the world. Special artifact from a crucial moment in human history. A writing from an influential author that may shape the direction of the future. El Dorado, the golden city, the fountain of youth, the lost ark of the covenant, the cup used by Christ in the Last Supper. When such great treasures are involved, great intrigue and mystery surround them. And there lies a desire to find the truth. What happens when that treasure is finally found, when the truth is revealed, the truth is discovered? A fame may surround you for a time if you are that finder of the treasure of the truth. You may become even wealthy as a result of that great discovery. Only the treasure cannot remain yours forever. Someone else may come along and take it away from you, whether legally or illegally. Or finally, when your last breath comes, the treasure passes to someone else. So much of what is good in this world as we know it is only for a moment. It is fleeting. Health, beauty, wealth, power, fame, property, ideas. This truth of all that is truly fleeting, of everything being vanity or worthless, as Solomon has said. This drives all the world's thoughts and actions. That thought thus influences everything, even the set-apart people of God. Jesus' own disciples, following after him and his great teachings and miracles, argued amongst themselves about who was the greatest. Quarrels arose over possessions of money, of goods amongst them. The Lord Jesus, God himself, standing in the midst of his creation, knew full well the fleeting nature of the world's best things. He is the creator of everything that there is, and he is the giver of every single good gift. But each good gift comes to an end in this life. But Jesus' giving of those good gifts does not. And so the Lord Jesus redirects the gaze of his beloved disciples. He shapes their thinking with the thinking of God himself. And he does the same for you and for me through the gospel. Truly, as Jesus directs, take time to consider the lilies of the field, the ravens of the air. Now, ravens are not usually the favorite bird of most people. They do serve their purpose, though, in God's great creation. But they're not the kind of creatures that people long to see, going out into the wilderness with their binoculars hoping to catch a glimpse of a raven. But these birds feast on the leftovers that are found around them, on the creatures that succumb to death. The ravens do not plan their next meal. They do not entice humans to drop the food that they have in their possessions or lead them to load up their trash cans. They do not plot the death of the animals around them. They merely eat what comes their way. Lilies of the field, of course, have no minds of their own. They do not come up with more and more designs for their beauty, how they can get better and better each and every day. They simply grow, as God has enabled them so to do. These good creatures of God are pretty low on the overall scale when it comes to God's immense and beautiful creation. But on the other hand, you are the pinnacle of God's great creation. You are the ones created, made in the image of God. No other creature gets to say the same. You are special to God, the maker of the universe, more special than anything else. Jesus goes on to say that being anxious, worrying about the things of this life does not help. What good does worrying actually do you? For which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Or can make it rain when it is needed? Or prevent a tornado that is oncoming, or cure a disease? If you cannot do these, then do not worry about the rest, Jesus says. God takes care of the ravens. He takes care of the lilies of the field. He takes care of you even more than that. Not just with the earthly things does God take care of you, but with the eternal things. Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. The world, Jesus says, seeks after all these things. They make them their priorities in their lives. They even make them gods. Your Father knows that you need them, Jesus says. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Abraham had been given a great, great gift of faith. He trusted Yahweh's word that came to him, telling him to leave his homeland, the place of his birth, the place of his comfort, and emigrate into a foreign land, a foreign people. Abraham continued to trust in God, as he was told by God that he would one day be the father of many nations of peoples. So a great treasure awaited dear Father Abraham, but he did not get to possess it, not in its entirety. He gained in wealth, he gained in prominence amongst the peoples around him, but still he lacked a son. Oh Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. You have given me no offspring. Abraham believed, trusted in the very promise of God, but he could not see past his present situation. Then God took Abraham outside in the night, showed him all the stars up in the skies. And God said, if you can number them, Abraham, so will your descendants be. That is what God had in store for Abraham. Abraham could not possibly live to see so many of his great descendants, but the word of God's promise remained true. The treasure was promised, and it was indeed secure. Jesus told his disciples, sell your possessions, give them away to the needy. A leap of faith, indeed. Provide themselves with money bags that do not grow old, Jesus said. What money bag does not grow old? Purses wear out, wallets wear thin, even banks crumble and fall. The best cannot survive forever, but only God can provide the everlasting things. And so with his words, the Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples about his gift of grace. God's great love in Christ is the eternal treasure. That great love of God bore Jesus, God's own Son, to the cross. There the Son of God suffered and died for the sins of all the world. Jesus gave up everything that he had in order to gain for himself, to gain for his Father in heaven, you, as his people, forever. Jesus is your treasure, and he and you are his treasure, as he has made it so. And so Jesus continues to pour out, to flood you with his grace through his great gift of the word. He has combined that spoken word with the actual water of baptism, with the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, thus creating a tangible means of God's grace, of his love flowing to you. So grace upon grace upon grace is poured out through the speaking of the gospel and the practices here of his church. What does God give that does not wear out, but can indeed receive that treasure, receive his grace? It is the gift of faith. Faith is the receptacle of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And faith to receive that grace of God is given freely in the word of the gospel. Faith is that money bag that does not grow old or cannot wear out. Faith is the great wooden chest that receives all of the treasures of heaven, even Christ Jesus himself. Jesus pours out his grace upon you, those treasures of heaven, even while those treasures remain secure in his great dwelling place. No thief can approach God's grace to steal it away from you. No moth will destroy the grace of God given to you. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure is Jesus the Christ, his great grace that he gives and pours out upon you. Where he is, your heart is also. The great gift of faith, the eternal money bag that receives God's grace in Jesus Christ, was so treasured by all the saints of old. Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith hall of fame chapter, recounts many of those great saints all possessing the gift of faith. They believe that faith in the promised Messiah made them righteous before God, even in the midst of all of their sinfulness and their failures. They trusted that the Messiah would one day come, and that trust was credited to them as righteousness. Their eternal treasure was stored up in Jesus too, just like yours. No thief could ever take that treasure away from them. As David boldly fought the great giant Goliath, and Daniel stood face to face, staring down the ravenous mouths of the hungry lions. Abraham believed in God that he would raise his son Isaac from the dead, even at Isaac's own death. That could not take away the very treasure of Abraham's faith in the promises of righteousness through the coming Messiah, the Savior of all the world. Stock markets crash. Business ventures fail. No earthly treasure is secure, not in Fort Knox, not in the Cayman Islands, not even in the magical and fictional vaults of Gringotts. Pirates' treasures, they can be raided. Cities of gold can all be confiscated. But the treasure of God's great grace in Jesus can never be taken away from you. It is sure as God himself is sure. Your salvation, your everlasting life, your forgiveness of all your sins is guaranteed by God through the blood of Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. There is no better promise or word than that. For your treasure, your faith, your Jesus is yours, and it is secure, now and forever. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
You may be seated. Special thank you to all who came out this last Monday night for our first Eat Night for our school year. That was at Culver's in South Champaign. Next one will be the second Monday in the month of September, so we look forward to that coming up for our next Eat Night. Special thank you also to those who came out yesterday morning to help spread the mulch in the playground across the parking lot, so it's ready now for the school year. Please do keep all of our teachers, our faculty, our staff, and the families and students of our school in your prayers as they begin another school year this week. We do have our funeral for Mar Ehlers tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 here in our sanctuary, so you're welcome to join us for that. There will be a light reception following that service, so you can meet and greet with the family there at that time. Sunday school rally is rally day is next Sunday, the 17th of August. That'll take place between our services as we kick off another official Sunday school year for our church. And then also we'll have our church picnic in the back parking lot area and playground area following our second service. Sign-up sheet is available for the church picnic, so if you'd like to come, please do make that known on the sign-up sheet down the hall. Join us for Bible class and Sunday school in the hour that does follow and comes before our next service. We do go forward in the name of our Lord, and we greet each other in his peace.